All right, we're in a new series started last week by Dr. Weaver. It's entitled, What Every Christian Ought to Know. I'm not going to sing now. I only like the songs. What's that little chorus, Everybody Ought to Know? Help me out. Everybody ought to know who what? Jesus is. I should have had you sing that to do it. But we got our first lesson. Listen now, that the Bible is the Word of God. And if you don't believe that, you're in trouble, okay? This is it. This is the final authority, amen? I'm glad when I got invited to a church in Dayton, Ohio, Brother Fleming stood up and he preached the Word of God, amen? And when I heard about the Word of God, didn't paint a real pretty picture of me as a sinner, amen? But thank God I believed and I got saved. So that lesson, Dr. Weaver started last week, and he'll pick it back up next week. Our lesson today, I'll get it down, is assurance. Assurance. Do you know that you know that you know? Now think with me a minute. Mr. Satan, who isn't our friend, does all that he can to keep people out of heaven. Because he's got another place for him, doesn't he? But think a moment with me. Once someone gets saved, Satan doesn't give up on us. He knows he can't keep us out of heaven. But the best thing he can do is put us on the shelf and we're no good to God. I'm no authority. Old B.R. Lakin, I don't know if you ever heard B.R. Lakin, used to say, I'm not judging, I'm just inspecting the fruit. But in the 58 years I've been saved, three different churches, I see people get saved and they're excited about it and they're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun, and 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, where are they? They're on the shelf somewhere. Maybe you've experienced that. And so it's very important that we understand about the assurance that Jesus Christ gives us. Now, be honest. Don't lie in the church house. How many of you, since you've been saved, how many of you know you're saved, by the way? Are you sure about that? I hope so. But be honest with me. How many of you, since you've been saved, have had some doubts sometimes? Now, don't lie in the church house. Okay. Yeah, we ought to be shouters instead of doubters. Amen. But if we're honest with ourselves, let me ask this one. How many of you have sinned since you've been saved? By the way, I remember old Brother Fleming used to preach. He'd talk about this old boy. He'd get up. He said, I know there's a devil. I know there's a devil. I married his sister. I don't know where I got that one. That's way back when. That's sad. You visitors, just excuse us today. The real guys will be back to do it. It's just Rigsby, if you know Rigsby, to do it. But you know, Satan will try to keep us from serving the Lord. And my question to you today is, number one, do you have the assurance? And I'm going to give you some help there. But second of all, are you serving the Lord? Have you served the Lord somewhere? I remember a little phrase I heard as I was a new Christian. By the way, in the old days, we had that old expression, Brother Dan, win them, wet them, and work them. I was in the 50s and 60s. Let's get them won, let's get them baptized, and let's throw them in. I got thrown into a class of junior high kids. I didn't know Genesis from Revelations. But somehow I stuck it out, amen? And the question is, guys, what are you doing for the Lord right now? And I know some of our older people, like, by the way, you can pray. You can give. You may not be able to handle junior high kids, which I had the first 25 years of being saved. That's enough to ruin you and check you out. But what are you doing for the Lord? But most important, do you have the assurance of Jesus Christ? Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This is the same John as the Apostle John. One-eyed, two-eyed, and three-eyed John. Somebody used to teach me there. But 1 John chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 to 13. And come back and pick out a few things if we can. Verse 1, 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Check yourself out. Amen. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know, circle the word know, we'll come back to that, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Did you believe that? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, what class? Say it to me. Eternal life, and this life is where? In his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, verse 13, have I written unto you, the word of God. That was our lesson last week, the word of God. What's it written to thee? That believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may circle it. You may what, class? Know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Did you get that? Are you saved? Well, yeah, I remember when I got saved. Are you still saved? It's good that you can remember when you got saved, but that doesn't save you, if you know what I'm saying. Do you believe now? Are you believing now? Now, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I've taught for 50 years. I started out with junior high kids. That's why I'm half crazy. I got promoted to adults, and they're just in bigger bodies, everything. Amen, Dan? You get it. And I love to give assignment. By the way, I learned teaching class that you give the assignments at the beginning of class. And because if you wait till the end of class, their minds are going by then if they're not already. Amen? So I'm going to give you, still got 15 minutes. I'm going to give you an assignment. Are you ready? By the way, you don't have anything to write or fill out today, okay? I gave Richard and I gave, gave you a break. But you got your Bible. You got your Bible? Get it out. I'll help you out there. We're getting it. All right. Here's the assignment, okay? This book of 1 John has something very unique about it. I'm going to give you a number, 38. What's the number I gave you, class? What's the number? Okay, just checking you out. Here's your assignment. I know you just waited with bated breath. You'll go right home. You'll eat your dinner. There's no cowboy game on. You can do it. Even if there was one, I'd suggest you miss it. But anyhow, 38 times in 1 John, there's a word that's mentioned. And it goes right with what I'm trying to teach in the lesson this morning, assurance. Now, here's the word. Are you ready to write it down? Put it in your Bible. Know or known. Know or known. Now, don't be afraid to write in your Bible. Because I'm going to have you mark something in your Bible. How many you mark in your Bible? Now, I respect you if you don't agree to that. You know, to each his own. But today, when you go home, I want you to take out 1 John. And I want you to start reading only 5 chapters, okay? That'll help some of you catch up on your devotions this week, okay? And every time you come to the word know or a form of it, circle it. We're talking about assurance. Do you know that you know that you know? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? By the way, how many of you know people that think or hope that they're saved? Do you know anybody like that? Talk to anybody? Witness to anybody? Again, that's Satan's next thing. Have him doubt. But if you'll go through, and I'm just going to read some of these to you, and you're going to come across them today when you do your assignment. Now, I can't inspect what I expect, but I'm going to hope that you do it, okay? It's a challenge to you. Just listen to some of them. I'm not going to read them all. 38 of them, we've ruined most of you. Chapter 2 and verse 3. We know that we know him. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Do you know that you know that you know? I'm going to read them all. Chapter 2 and verse 5. Listen. We know that we are in him. That sounds pretty assuring, isn't it? Chapter 2 and verse 13. Known him that is from the beginning. I wonder who that's talking about. We known the Father. I'll skip a few. Chapter 2 and verse 29. Know that he is righteous. Aren't you glad we've got a righteous Father? Assurance of that. With that, in chapter 2 and verse 29, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Chapter 3 and verse 2. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. I like that, Brother Frank. We're going to be good, buddy. Amen. Okay. Chapter 3 and verse 5. We know he was manifested to take away our sins. Are you with me? Are you getting the assurance 38 times in this little book that we know about the Lord? Listen to chapter 3 and verse 14. We know we have passed from death unto life. I'm happy I know that. That's assurance for me. How about you? Chapter 3 and verse 15. We know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's rather serious, isn't it? Okay. Chapter 3, verse 20. We knoweth all things. Knoweth all things. How about that? Chapter 3 and verse 24. We know that he abideth in us. The Holy Spirit, when we got saved, came and indwelt in us. Amen? Do it. Okay? I like this one, chapter 4 and verse 6. If you believe in prayer, listen to what it says. We knoweth God heareth us. By the way, in your prayer life, have you found out God answers prayer in three ways? Yes, no, and wait. Yes, no, and a lot of mine are wait. God's seen if we're serious about praying for that, okay? Chapter 4, verse 16, I'm skipping some, but we know, known and believe the love that God hath to us. Did you get that? God loves us, even when we fall on our face. And 1 John 1, 9 is there. If we sin, we confess our sins. He's faithful and what? And just to forgive us of our sins. Aren't you glad our Heavenly Father does that for us? Do it. Chapter 5, verse 2. We know that we love the children of God when we love God. We'll say more about that in a minute. Chapter 5 and verse 13, we're talking about assurance. Know that we have eternal life. You know that? Are you sure of that? I hope so. Chapter 5, verse 15, we know that he hears us. Amen? Knows that he hears us. Chapter 5, verse 15, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. How about that, sports fans? Chapter 5 and verse 18, know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. I didn't read them all, and you're not bored to death, but let me challenge you to go through and get all 38 of those. They'll be a blessing to you today, and you'll be reminded what Brother Rigsby was trying to teach you. We have assurance because we know that we know that we know. And until you know that, you're not going to be much use to the Lord. Satan will see that you get put on your shelf. How many of you have a ministry? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. Raise your hand. I'm not picking on anybody. You have a ministry. You work with kids. You work in the nursery. By the way, you who work in the nursery, Miss Dana, God bless you. It is special. But find you a ministry and serve the Lord. This church, if you get the program, I got one sitting here. We got all kinds of things. Well, God can't use you. Well, try. Let me challenge you to do that, to do something for the Lord, to do it. I like what somebody said. It's better to be a shouting Christian than a doubting Christian. I like somebody said, having been an English teacher, we ought to be a exclamation mark instead of a question mark. Think about that. Put that in your grammar notebook, okay, to do it. Now I'm going to give you two words, and they're acronyms, whatever that means, but some of you probably heard it, but I've been taught over the years. Are you ready? Two great words. In fact, we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Go back in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. Most of you know this one. When you get there, wait on me. Ephesians chapter 2. Get this truth. Assurance begins with a new birth. We got saved. New birth. In Ephesians chapter 2, most of you can quote it. Hopefully you can, or you can mark it. But let's read it. For by grace are you saved. Did you get that? Through faith. Keep that in mind. And that not of yourselves, not going to get there by works. There'll be no peacocks strutting around in heaven saying, looky what I did to get to heaven. Think about it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is what, class? A gift. You can't earn a gift, can you? You can receive it, but you can't earn it. It's a gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should what? Boast. Not going to find any braggers in heaven. Amen? Think about it. Now, here's the acronym. Grace. You ready? You've probably heard this one, but do it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Hold your hand up. Hold your hand up. Let's say it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Beautiful definition of grace. All right, and then you've probably heard this one. Faith. Faith. You got it? Got the hand up? Ready? Forsaking all, I trust Him. Did you get that one? Let's say it. Forsaking all, I trust Him. All right, being a teacher, you got to go back over it. Repetition. Watch grace, God's riches. Come on, help me out. At Christ's expense. Faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. That's a good class. I may have to come back here and do that, okay? Now, look at the picture. Look at the picture. Grace. Somebody pictured it this way. God's nail-scarred hand reaching down. That's grace. My sinful hand reaching up to take that hand. That's faith. Did you get it? God's nail-scarred hand reaching down. God's grace. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's free. Reaching down to my sinful hand, body, reaching up to Him. Making sense to you? Faith doesn't save us. For by what? Grace are we saved. But what's faith? Faith is that vehicle, if I can use that, that gets us to God's grace. You remember when you got saved? You heard the word of God. You saw you were a sinner. You knew that Christ died for you, went to the cross, rose again. When you realized that truth, that you were a sinner and you couldn't earn your way to heaven, that the only way to get to heaven was through Christ. I hope you've been there. I hope you did. I'm trying to assure you about that. Am I making sense to you? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Okay. By the way, I remember some preacher preaching a long time ago. You know, if you sit in church 50 years, you're bound to learn something by osmosis. Here's what he said. Are you ready? Especially if you're a new Christian. How many of you have been saved in the last 5 years? Been saved last 5 years? Most of you old folks? I mean, older folks? Okay. Here's the little phrase. Don't let what you don't know hurt what you do know. Can I say that again? Don't let what you don't know hurt what you do know. I don't know how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but I sure like milk. That's for free. I thought you'd enjoy that. Okay. Now, birthmarks of a believer. When we're born, sometimes we have a little nick or a little thing. I was born with 1,000 freckles. Born November 13th, 1942. Yeah, I'm 79 years old. I know I don't look it. And here's the ironic thing. I was born November 13th, 1942. It took my parents 14 years to decide to have another kid after they saw me come out of there. Because my brother was born on my 14th birthday. That's a little trivia to do it. But, you know, when you're born, there's some marks about it. When you're born again, listen to me. Now, those ladies aren't mad at me. They said they had to leave early. Good to see you. Nice to meet you. I wish I could go. No, I'm not going to do that with you. Now, three quick words. Think about it. We understand what a birthmark is. There should be three birthmarks for believers. What's, you know, OBR said, I'm inspecting the fruit. Number one is a commandment, is a desire for God's word. Do you have that? Took me a long while, guys. I'm a slow learner to have devotions in the morning when it's quiet. And begin, listen, it's great. And when I first got saved, and I still am, aren't you glad we got three preachers up here behind the word of God that teaches us something? They're preachers and they're teachers. And I'm glad I've at least started out by listening to preachers and trying to be faithful to God's word. But you know what? There's another way we learn God's word, and that's our own personal study. And I hope you have, again, a time and a place alone with God for you to pray and for you to study. That's the way you learn it. That's a commandment. That'll be a birthmark that we desire God's word and want to read it. And more important, read it is to what? Obey it. Think about it. That's one birthmark. Second birthmark, Second test. Dan, are you ready for this one? I'm only aiming at you. No, I'm not. We have love for the brethren. We have love for the brethren. Did I hear an amen on that class? Now, God's been good. Dayton Baptist Temple, Dayton, Ohio, I got saved. Calvary Baptist School in that great town of Holland, Michigan. Hello, Michelle. 6 years there. 38 years under wonderful teaching and preaching. We are spoiled, Brother Temp. We are spoiled. But if we ought to learn one thing, we ought to learn to love the brother. Well, I don't like him. Well, shut up. It doesn't matter. God loved him and saved him. We ought to love each other. Well, I don't like what she wears. None of your business. You know anybody like an ostrich? They're in that church and they're looking at everybody, what they're wearing, and what they're doing. You know, mind your own business. We ought to love one another, folks. That's a mark that we have been saved. Now, back to my friend, quote unquote, Satan. You ever been in a church where there wasn't much love? Thank God I haven't been in one, but I've heard about one or some that Satan has ruined because there was no love among the brethren. And I praise the Lord. By the way, how do you show love to the brethren? Meet their needs. Eva, you back here? You staying awake back here? Well, punch the person next to you. Eva is the head of our widows thing. And they do a lot of good things. Speaking of ministry, they can use help. But she delivered some food to one of our gals. Not bragging on my wife and I, but we took some food to somebody the other day. You love me? Prove it, huh? Birthmark. You love the brethren. You keep God's word. And then the third word after commandment and companion is confidence. Confidence. We believe in Jesus, not about him. We believe in Jesus, not about him. Well, you do your own grade card. I'm going to let you do it. And we're going to close with a song. That scared all of you because you think I'm going to sing it. Not really. Turn in your, it's 1 Timothy, I think, or 2 Timothy, one of those. Turn into it. Make the pages flip. That way you'll be good to mark it. Well, I'll just give it to you. Best thing to do it. His name was Captain Whittle. He was fought in the Civil War. I'm going way back. Sorry, Texans. But he was a prisoner of war. And he had a lot of time. His mom, before he went off to war, gave him a little New Testament that he kept. And he read that much while he was a prisoner of war. And he was finally out and he got promoted and so on. But he wrote the song, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Written in 1883. I like the old songs, don't you? But he took it from a verse out of the Bible. That's a good place to get a song, don't you reckon? And he took it from Mr. Paul. That's a good one to take from. 2 Timothy 1. I knew I had it down there. 2 Timothy 1. Okay. Verse 12. You've heard it. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to lead you to sing it, but I want you to hear it. Talking about being assured. Being assured. That's what Paul said. For the which cause I also suffered these things. You'll have to look at the verses above there, what he suffered. You know about his life. But look what he said. For I, there's our Sesame Street word of the day. What is it? No. For I know what? Does he say I know what? What's he say? Talk to me, class. I know whom I have believed. And I'm, read it with me, persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Whew. Thank you, Paul. Do you have a know-so salvation? Are you assured? Listen to it. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you have some assurance? You're dismissed. Bang. Quarter up.